There's nothing wrong for women having jewelry and stuff and those things. You know, no, nothing wrong with that. But if you see it as lucky or has a spiritual component to it, someone says, wear this, you'll be protected, or this will do this or that, that's evil. And God says, woe to you. We don't trust in trinkets and junk. We trust in the Lord.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, what's in your message today for us to learn from this portion of Scripture?
Well, Dave, today we're going to conclude a section in the book of Ezekiel that reveals that God will not let the false prophets continue with their wickedness, but that he will judge. Okay, well, with this in mind, it's so important that we understand how to spot these bad guys and how to avoid them. So let's turn together to Ezekiel chapter 13, and we're looking at verses 8 through 23.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address, again, is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
It is only those who overcome who are in the Book of Life. And how does that happen? 1 John 5, verse 2. By this we know we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. That's his commands, not his 10 commandments, his commands. And his commandments are not burdensome. Hey, to obey when we're trusting Jesus isn't a burden. It's when we're not trusting him, it is. For whatever is born of God does what? Overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? You see, we overcome the world's system, the world and everything that's in it, Satan, sin, and death. We overcome through faith in Jesus. And when you've trusted in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So he's saying back in our passage that these bad guys will not be written in the register of Israel, implying that they're not true Jews in a sense, those who truly know the Lord and are his. So these false prophets will no longer be able to deceive as being identified as God's people, and they won't be identified as God's people. And this reminds me of something, and I'll read this. In Revelation 3, verse 8, when the Lord is encouraging the church of Philadelphia that's faithful, they're discouraged, but he's encouraging them. And he says to them, Revelation 3, 8, I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut, because you have little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Then the Lord Jesus says to the church of Philadelphia, behold, I will cause those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I'll make them come and bow down at your feet to know that I have loved you. You see, there are those who claim to be God's people. God's going to reveal someday that they're not. He's going to reveal that. And in our passage, they're not going to enter the land. They're not in the register. You see very clearly. And notice the third thing. So their influence will be removed. Their names will be scrubbed in a sense. And lastly, end of verse 9, nor will they enter the land of Israel, that you may know that I'm the Lord. So you say, wait a second, I thought they were already in the land of Israel. How can they enter it? Well, I think he's talking more in eternal sense. They're not going to enter. They're not going to make it in. Their end is sure. Look at Jeremiah 14:14. Turn there. Then the Lord said to me, the prophets who are prophesying falsehood in my name, I have neither sent them, nor commanded them, nor spoken to them. They are prophesying to you a false vision, divination, futility, and the deception of their own minds. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who are prophesying in my name, although it was not I who sent them, yet they keep saying, there shall be no sword or famine in the land, but by sword and famine those prophets shall meet their end. Saying they're going to be judged. You know, false prophets are everywhere, false churches all over the place. There's all kinds of bad stuff, but they're not going to get away with it. And notice what he says, ultimately, that you may know, end of verse 9, that I am the Lord. 63 times in the book of Ezekiel, we have this phrase in some sense that you will know that I am the Lord. 63 times. And we see in Scripture that man comes to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as the Lord by two ways. One, by acknowledging their sin and trusting in Him. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And voluntarily, we recognize that He's the Lord. We recognize that. But if you reject Him and you harden your heart, there will be a day when in judgment, you acknowledge Him as the Lord. And that's what he's talking about here. These false prophets didn't acknowledge the Lord at all. They said they spoke for Him, but someday they will know when they're judged that He is the Lord. You know, the Lord would talk to people in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? He's trying to say, hey, maybe there's something spiritually wrong with you. You see, when I didn't know the Lord and I thought I did, I didn't obey Him at all. And I didn't really care. And then when I came to know the Lord, I don't obey Him perfectly. I mess up. I fail. But I want to obey Him. And there's a change in my heart. And there's a change in the hearts of those who come to faith in Jesus. We want to obey Him. We want to do what He says. And we grieve over it when we fail, right? You see, every knee someday will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And right now, you can bow your heart. Lord Jesus, I believe You died for my sins, and You rose from the dead. Save me. Or, when He judges you, you will know He's the Lord. Don't let it be the latter. So this is not a pretty picture for the false prophets. And you say, okay, I get it. I understand this is happening back in Israel, back when they were exiled and the false prophets who were leading them astray. They're going to be judged. I get that. It happened. I saw that in Scripture. Okay. But what about the false teachers now? I read this earlier, but turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. They're not going to get away with it. Just like God brought judgment, He's going to give three examples of judgment that were sure. The same thing, the false teachers aren't going to get away with it. And that should be an encouragement to us. 2 Peter 2, verse 1. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies. That's what they do. They sneak it in, by the way. Even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be maligned. We see that these days, these guys who claim to follow the Lord, and the way of truth is maligned. People look at the wacky bad guys on TBN and different places and say, what kind of junk is that? And they malign the Lord when it's not the Lord. It's the bad guys speaking for Him when they're not speaking for Him, right? It says, and the way of truth will be maligned. And he says here, and in their greed, we'll see this in a minute, they will exploit you with false word. The word means, their false means plastic. Moldable words. They're wordsmiths. They're really good at what they do. They don't share the word of God, but they exploit you with false words. And he says here, their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. And he'll go on to say, hey, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, just like the angels who strayed, just like what happened in those places, just like what happened in the flood, God's going to bring His judgment. There are pits of black darkness reserved for them, punishment in the day of judgment. Don't be out there chasing down and exposing, doing everything about the false guys, false guy followers, and finding this and that, and trying to let God take care of them. Just stay away from them. Now notice, His wrath is going to be spent. Back to our passage, verse 10. It is definitely because they've misled my people, saying peace when there is no peace. You see, God's people had rejected Him, but were saying that they were following Him. And they were in sin, and God was graciously saying, repent and turn to Me. And if you don't, there's going to be judgment. And these false guys are saying, no, no, it's peace, it's fine. It's like the churches today that say, continue in your sin, God loves you, you're fine. No, you're not fine. You need your sins covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're not fine. There is no peace for the wicked, says my God. Isaiah 57, verse 21. Jeremiah 6, you can look at that. Jeremiah, let's turn here, Jeremiah 6. You see, people are broken. And people need help. And people go to church for that. And bad guys superficially bind their wounds. Bad guys superficially fix them rather than giving them what they really need, which is to be right with the Lord, where He will fix you. Jeremiah 6, verse 10. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ears are closed. They cannot listen. Behold, the word of the Lord has become a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. They don't want to hear God's word. But I am full of the wrath of the Lord, and I am weary with holding in it. Pour it out on the children in the street and the gathering of young men together, for both husband and wife shall be taken, the age of the very old. The houses shall be turned over to others, their fields and their wives. I will stretch out my hand against the inhabitants of the land, declares the Lord, from the least of them to the greatest of them. Everyone is greedy for gain. And from the prophet, even the priest, everyone deals falsely. And they have healed the brokenness of my people superficially, saying peace, but there is no peace. Were they ashamed because of the abominations they have done? They were not even ashamed at all. They did not even know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. At that time I will punish them. They shall be cast down, says the Lord. God was patient, but the time is up. You know, we have a modern day equivalent these days in many churches where pastors wink at sin. I'm not talking about being superficially and a bandwagon sin preacher. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about those who wink at sin and don't share the truth of the gospel, that we need to be forgiven. We need a changed heart. I'm not talking about going around and being a hard-nosed sin preacher. We need to preach the word of God all the way through, and there needs to be compassion in that, in the context of the truth. So then, it's definitely because they've misled my people, saying peace when there is no peace. And then notice he gives an illustration, kind of interesting one here. He says in end of verse 10, and when anyone builds a wall, they plaster over it with whitewash. The way they built things that day, they build a wall, then they plaster the white stuff over it, okay? And as we're going to see in Israel's case, the wall was flawed because of sin. It's an illustration. But the false prophets whitewashed it with their words, making the wall look fine, okay, when it wasn't fine. So tell those who plaster with whitewash that it will fall. A flooding rain will come, and you hailstones will fall, and a violent wind will break out. Their false assurances are going to fall. And the true reality of where they're at is going to be exposed. And look at, we have it illustrated again, verse 12. Behold, when the wall has fallen, will you not be asked, where is the plaster which you plastered it? Therefore, thus says the Lord, I will make a violent wind break out in my wrath. There will also be in my anger a flooding rain and hailstones to consume it in wrath. See, God's righteous anger is going to come upon them. He's going to tear down the falsehood of the plastered walls and show the faulty foundations. And then look at verse 14. So I'll tear down that which you've plastered over, the wall which you plaster with your whitewash, and bring it down to the ground so that the foundation will be laid bare. And when it falls, you'll be consumed in its midst, and you will know that I'm the Lord. Again, when the Lord brings his judgment, which he did back in that time, as we'll see, on Israel when they were exiled, they'll know that the bad guys were bad and that they had covered up that which Israel needed to see, which was their sin. And then you'll know that I'm the Lord. You see, these guys at this time actually had the book of Isaiah. They actually knew the truth from Genesis that in Abraham's seed all the nations would be blessed. They had the truth concerning the one who would be pierced for our transgressions. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of his fall to fall on him. They had that. But they rejected it. So I ask you, what faulty walls have you erected in your hearts? What false assurances from false voices have you allowed to whitewash your sins so that it's not dealt with? You see, salvation is in Jesus. And if you humble yourself and admit it, he'll save you. And you'll be changed. And you'll have a changed heart. And you'll be forgiven. Verse 15, he says, thus I'll spend my wrath on the wall and those who plastered it over with whitewash. And I say to you, the wall is gone, the plasters are gone, along with the prophets of Israel who prophesy to Jerusalem, who see visions for peace for her when there is no peace, declares the Lord. Do false teachers in the church discourage you? Well, they're not going to get away with it. Now, lastly, as we finish up, there wasn't just these male false prophets. There were some false prophetesses that we see here. Notice we see judgment against them. Verse 17 as we finish. Now you, son of man, set your face against the daughters of your people who are prophesying from their own inspiration. Prophesy against them and say, thus says the Lord God, woe to the women who sew magic bands on all wrists and make veils for the heads of persons of every stature to hunt down lives. Will you hunt down the lives of my people, but preserve the lives of others for yourselves? And for handfuls of barley and fragments of bread, you profaned me to my people, and to put to death some who should not die, and to keep others alive who should not live, by your lying to my people who listen to lies. Here we have these female false prophets who speak from their own inspiration. Same thing as we saw. They're speaking. They're obviously, they got some trinkets that we see here also he's talking about, but they obviously are saying peace and safety. They're sharing lies to God's people. And we're going to see it burdens actually the people who are truly his, and it allows those who are not his to continue in their way to judgment, unfortunately. He says, prophesy against them, end of verse 17, and say, thus says the Lord, woe to the women who sew magic bands on all wrists and make veils for the heads of persons of every stature to hunt down lives. What's he talking about here? He's talking about these female false prophets who dealt with devilish trinkets. They had little wristbands. You know, now the NASB, the word magic's in italics, but they're putting that in there to kind of say this is devilish. This is not from the Lord. And they sew these veils for the heads of people of every stature. So they have these wristbands and these headbands, evidently with a spiritual component to them, like Lucky Charms in a sense. Like a Lucky Charm bracelet or whatever it might be, and people were trusting in them. You see, we see that these days. You know, we see the Eastern religious stuff creeping into the West, you know, so-called, you know, magic amulet bracelets woven in cloth with beads and things. There's nothing wrong for women having jewelry and stuff and those things. You know, nothing wrong with that. But if you see it as lucky or has a spiritual component to it, someone says, wear this, you'll be protected, or this will do this or that, that's evil. And God says, woe to you. We don't trust in trinkets and junk. We trust in the Lord. And when someone brings that stuff for you to trust in, don't do it. So these female prophets are making these trinkets. And notice, middle of 18, to hunt down lives. That's the Lord removes the varnish. The term lives here is this word from Hebrew, nephesh. It means living soul, to hunt down souls. They're messing with people's souls. We don't know the exact activities, but they hunted down the souls of men and women with these worthless trinkets and their lying divination. Worthless stuff. And notice end of verse 18, what the Lord thinks about them. Will you hunt down the lives of my people or souls, but preserve the lives of others for yourself? Do you think you're in charge of life? What pride. In essence, he's saying, you think your false trinkets bring life for the people, but actually you hunt down the souls of my people. That's what you're doing. And notice they do it like every other false prophet does. They do it for pay. Verse 19. And for handfuls of barley and fragments of bread, and that's an indication that this is going to be during that time where there's a famine, they're going to be paid a little bit. But they do it. That's what they do it for. You have profaned me to my people. You polluted me. False teachers and false prophets pollute God's name. I mean, you see that, again, these TV preachers and stuff you see with this bad stuff, it pollutes God's name. And the world looks at it and goes, that's crazy junk. And they're right. But it pollutes God's name. He says here, you profane me to my people to put to death some who should not die and to keep others alive who should not live. By your lying to my people who listen to lies. The Lord says the same thing about false teachers of the day. They do it for money. They do it for what they can get out of it, by the way. People in churches who say evil things and whatever it is that portray it to be gods, they're doing it for the pay. God unveils their hearts in his word. One last time to 2 Peter, and we'll finish up here. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. He says, but these, like unreasoning animals, born as creatures of instinct to be captured and killed, reviling where they have no knowledge, will in the destruction of those creatures be destroyed. Suffering wrong is the wages of doing wrong. They count it pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are stains and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions as they carouse with you. Having eyes full of adultery that never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, having a heart trained in greed, accursed children, forsaking the right way, they've gone astray and followed the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. They're doing it for the money. They're speaking for God, but falsely. So look at their doom. Therefore, thus says the Lord, verse 20 in Ezekiel 13, behold, I'm against your magic bands by which you hunt the lives. They're as birds. I will tear them off your arms. I will let them go, even those whom you hunt as birds. I will also tear off your veils and deliver my people from your hands, and they will no longer be in your hands to be hunted, and you will know that I'm the Lord. It's going to bring judgment. You're going to, figuratively speaking, rip off those bands and those head things. Rip these false prophetess away in judgment that his people would be set free, and then they will know that he is the Lord. And then look at verse 22, the effect. Because you disheartened the righteous with falsehood when I did not cause him grief. The Lord doesn't cause grief through these false guys. The false guys do. It is disheartening to see what they do to our family and friends. It's disheartening to see the wickedness in churches that are messed up. He says, but you've encouraged the wicked not to turn from his wicked way and preserve his life. You disheartened the righteous, but encouraged the wicked. Therefore, verse 23, your women will no longer see false visions or practice divination. I will deliver my people out of your hand. Thus you will know that I'm the Lord. And that's really it. You see, they're going to know that he's the Lord through judgment. They're not going to get away with it. They may appear to be getting away with it. They may appear to be getting away with the wickedness they're doing, but they won't. There'll be a day when they no longer have any influence. And same with the false teachers of this day. There'll be a day when they no longer have any influence, when God will deal with them. So are you discouraged about this stuff? That's good, because you're perceiving things rightly. It's discouraging to see those things, but be encouraged, because God will bring about his judgment upon the bad guys.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org.
Friend, before we close today's broadcast, I want to talk to you directly about your eternal destiny. If you were to die right now, do you know where you would spend eternity? If you're unsure, here are some important questions to answer. Do you believe that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness, that you've sinned against a holy God? Do you believe that you are unable to do anything about your sinful condition? Do you believe that Jesus is God, that he took on human flesh, that he came and lived the sinless life and went to the cross and died for your sins? He was buried and rose from the dead 3 days later. Do you believe that his work on the cross was sufficient to forgive you of your sins? Are you willing to acknowledge that until you repent of your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus to save you, that you deserve hell and will be sent there? If you believe these things and want to receive Jesus' offer of eternal salvation, then you need to turn to him and ask him. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, I thank you so much for your word and your son Jesus. And I pray for those listening today who
who do not know you, who still are in their sins, that they would turn from their sin and trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation, that they would be saved. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your Son, and it is in his name we pray.
If you've taken that eternally important step, we'd love to come alongside you in your new relationship with Christ. So would you take a moment and contact us? We'd like to send you our new believers packet. In that packet, you'll find a message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt, some helpful Bible study tools, and a Bible. It's our gift to you to help you in your new relationship with Christ. You can request your new believers packet online at etsradio.org, or if you prefer, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And from all of us at Equipping the Saints, welcome to the family.